So welcome everyone, my name is Gio, I'm here with a good friend of mine, Mitra.
Hi.
I've gotten the pleasure to get to know over the last couple of years. I look up to him as a, I guess, a spiritual advisor, a spiritual teacher in a way. He gives a lot of talks where he talks about life and spirituality and awakening and a bit about his journey. So I just wanted to get the opportunity today to get him on here to share some of his wisdom with you guys. So if you like these videos, please share and comment below and subscribe to the channel. So Mitra, tell me a bit about your story and what brought you to doing the stuff you're doing today.
My background, I come from alternative medicine and Chinese medicine early in my 20s. Once I opened that door of knowledge, that door of information, something changed in the way that I looked at life. You know? That was bringing me to the understanding that there is more than the obvious. Alongside with that, I started to meditate a lot, and I met one of my teachers, an awakened being that took me to a journey to the soul, took me to a journey to the silence of the being, through meditation and working with healing. That started to impact my personal life and to change the way that I am practicing life.
Mm. You want to go a little deeper on how that changed your life? So the quietness of the soul, quieting the mind, you know, for a lot of people, most people don't understand the meditation period. But so how did that sort of quieting the mind change things in your life? Like, was there obvious or was it more subtle things that started to happen?
The magic of having a dialogue with the inner silence is having the dialogue with the thing that is the most close to us, with our deepest authenticity. It's pointing out to the creation in us. And once we start to engage with the emptiness of who we are, but this emptiness also contains everything, there is a whole transformation process that starts to kick in. Because before that, I was identifying with myself, with my personality, as the ultimate thing. No. And you can imagine that what is happening when your dish is missing the most important ingredient. And the most important ingredient is your being. So once you start to engage with that, once you start to have a serious inner dialogue with your being, that is changing everything.
Mm-hmm. So how would you describe the main difference between your identity versus your being?
This is a big question. Your personality is what is obvious for you. Yeah. Your name, what you are doing, some of the way that you are acting out this I am, that have different colors, of course. Some of them are pleasant, some of them are less pleasant. But it's always very conditional. Because the reference to that personality is usually your past or the future that you want to go. It's never rooted in the fact that you are just a light of being. But that understanding of being a beam of light, yeah, if I can say it like that, is changing your relationship to yourself. It's changing your perception of who you really are. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is, it have the domino effect. It's like when you open the inner door to the essence of who you are, that starts reflect in a different way. You are not oriented already to yourself only by my behavior and how I was in the past and what happened to me in the past. Is more relating to the present moment, is more relating to this phenomenon that we are as humans that contains a spark of creation, that contains a spark of life itself. Mm-hmm.
And was there a moment for you, like when you the switch flicked on, you had this realization going from like identity of Mitra to the being of Mitra? Was there something that happened that you can remember? Yeah.
Yes. I went on a silence retreat of 10 days.
Vipassana?
It was not Vipassana, it was with the awakened teacher.
Okay.
So it's still a silence retreat, and the structure of it is different, but you are meditating most of the day and you are doing a meditation practice. The only thing that is different when you are sitting with an awakened being is that he's already there. He's radiating that inner silence. So something is happening if you are open, if you are not skeptic, and you are willing to experiment. Yeah, in that openness of willing to experiment, you can engage with the frequency of the teacher. You can engage with the inner silence of the being. And it's strike you how much that is the essence of who you are, really. So the influence of sitting with an awakened teacher is having had a very strong impact on me through the silence retreat, in the silence retreat, because before that I could doubt it. Once it became so clear, then the doubt was gone.
Interesting. So I'm getting a big part of this becoming is the belief. Believing.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like you were skeptical at first, but once you're with the teacher, then you're able to believe. Was it just a feeling how would you explain that? That
is
that
very
subtle things we're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm very curious because it's those little things that get an aha moment once you understand it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very hard also to explain it because many times it's not what it is, it's not what it's, it is what it's not.
Okay.
Yeah. And but when we have a direct experience is different than when we are when somebody is telling us to believe something. For example, they can tell us that God exists. Yeah. And we can study it in a book and we can say, okay, this is like this, and to believe in that. Yeah, it is a belief. But once you have the direct experience of creation, the direct experience of God, then your reference point is you, is not a belief. And this is the difference when we are meditating, we are investigating the power, the silence power of our being, and we have a direct experience. We have a direct experience, then the referent point is us, is what is happening in us. Is so it's not a matter of belief anymore, it's a matter of fact.
Right. Interesting. I like the way you phrase that. Okay, so tell me more about this awakened being, or not this in particular, but how would you define an awakened being? And what's the difference? Is there any difference between an awakened being and enlightened being? Or do you think it's the same thing? A lot of people throw these words around these days, and like this person's enlightened, you know, enlightened masters and awakened beings, and you know, for me, I always like to get different perspectives on what that means to you.
It's the million-dollar question. there is a few ways to look at it. Yeah, when you're looking at ancient traditions that were working with the element of meditation. There is what they call a satori, when you have glimpses of that consciousness. Yeah. And there is a moksha, which is a full awakening, when you are most of the time in that territory. Yeah. So there is the process of awakening, and let's say somebody that is more rooted within the awakening. But we are so used to measure And mm-hmm. we want to know exactly where we are and where things are, because we think that there is some sort of existential competition. Yeah, it's a very linear thing. But in the process of the evolution of the being, it doesn't matter exactly where you are. It is, what is important is your understanding of what you are made of.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
The understanding of what you are made of. That is giving the weight in the right place. Mm-hmm. And then this living life suddenly have a bigger dimension to it. There is a bigger dialogue with life. There is a bigger investigation between oneself. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, the lenses got widened. Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes when people go through this awakening process, they feel like they're going crazy. Why do you think that is?
Mm-hmm. Because it is an illumination process. As more as we are opening to that beam of light, as more as we are open to this inner nothingness, we can call it. Mm-hmm. A lot of angles of our personality that they were there in the shadow come to the light. Yeah, it was always there, but suddenly you take the flashlight and you show it. That brings a lot of issues or stuff that we need to clean from, that we need to let go of. And a lot of that stuff, we are very attached to it on the level of the personality, of the level of the history that brought us to that place. In that territory, when we are awakening or when we are evolving, sometimes the system comes to a place that we are overloaded with that which needs to be washed, with that we need to let go of. So there is a certain confusion there in that process. Yeah, a lot of people will speak about the sweet side of awakening, mm-hmm. but within the awakening process, there is also spiritual crises that we need to pass through and to illuminate different areas in our personality that can cause a lot of feelings, a lot of thoughts, a lot of misunderstanding. Mm. But the direction is always needs to be to go back to the being, to go back into the silence, because this is the door. Mm-hmm. It's like if I walk in a corridor, no? And in the end of that corridor, the door is there. So I can get, I can stop along to see a picture and to get stuck about how the floor look. This is the moment that I forget where is the exit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I guess two questions, maybe one question, but when you were going through your process, do you remember any challenges that were difficult in your own detaching process? And and if so, like, what were some tips or tools that helped you to move through it? Was it just the meditation? Was it support? Was it, you know, other teachings and readings? Like, anything that
you can... Yeah. First, along that process, then that process is still happening to mm-hmm. you. There was a lot of, in this 26 years, there was a lot of spiritual crises, you know? But when that you are getting challenged with what your system is flooding you. but as more as you start, you need to start to define what is real and what is not. Mm. What is something that your system is overcoming, or and where you are aiming your focus. As more as you are aiming your focus, as more you know where you are going, then it is easier. The crises are coming, but you have a sense of a direction. When you're just stuck midway, yeah, between knowing or remembering and not remembering, there a confusion can come. But that confusion is also essential. Because within that confusion, it's like you put all your belief system in a washing machine. Yeah. Through that washing machine, you are coming out of the other side with more understanding, with more maturity. Yeah. We need to understand that we are carrying a lot of childish ideas about that process of awakening. Yeah. There is the new age concept of it, that all of it is sweet and all of it is bliss and stars, no? But if we are only attached to that, then once the tough part of the same book, it's just a different chapter in it, once they are coming, we are also dealing with it with not enough maturity. Mm-hmm. So the maturity is something that goes along with the awakening process. And I will explain a little bit. Because when we are getting challenged, if we bring a mature understanding, if we bring strength into it, if we bring love, if we bring understanding into that difficulty, then we will move forward from it. Yeah. Yes.
So, it makes a lot of sense from a philosophical standpoint. You said you're still going through your own awakening challenges as well. Is there something specific, an example that's something you're going through currently? Because, you know, people think that as, like, I look up to you, I think, yeah, this guy's got it all together. He doesn't have any challenges.
Oh, but, no whatsoever.
You know, but is there anything more specific, like an example of something that recent or on your journey that was a challenge for you, like in the evolving or detaching process?
Mm-hmm. I think in one point of that evolution is becoming more easy to be with ourselves. Yeah. It's like you sorted out your own house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The house is clean. You can sit nicely in it.
Mm-hmm.
But life as life itself is so dynamic and is creating situations. Relationship is a good example. Working environment are a good example. When we are coming to a close interactions with another human being, that many times creates the mirror effects,
mm-hmm.
that we start to trigger one another, that we start to challenge one another. Yeah. So within that stuff that we didn't complete, that we didn't let go in our behaviors can come up.
Mm-hmm.
But they are coming up just for us to study, just for us to understand a better way how to reflect not only from our personality to the situation, but to reflect from our inner being to the situation. Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So you brought up relationships. My next question is, you know, in your upbringing, in your family life, were you religious at all? And are you now the same religious views as you were before? Or did you totally change that? And did that create tension within your family? Because I know a lot of the times, like, you know, I'm Italian, growing up very Catholic. You know, when I started having different views, you know, like, they thought I was crazy. It created some tension in my family. But then when they saw I wasn't crazy and I was still responsible and a good person, you know, they opened their mind a little bit. They still, you know, questions are asked, but just curious from your own experience.
My own experience in that direction was easy because I was very different as a child already in my family, in the way that my point of view on things. And somehow my parents were very mellow with me.
Just let it be.
Yeah, they understood that I see things differently, but they accepted it. They allow it. I didn't need to rebel to that because there was acceptance. I think that was very helpful. Once that process kicked in strongly, and I was changing my name, and changing a lot of stuff within my personal life. There was acceptance, there was relaxation from their side.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, I was so consciously stubborn about what I see that I need to go forward. So I didn't need to prove myself to them, because I had a knowing inside and I was just following that knowing. Yeah. The outside can argue with who you are as long as you are not rooted with that knowing. Okay. Once you're rooted in that knowing, there is no argument because this is what there is.
Got it.
And my spiritual background, I come from Judaism. The good thing that I had as a child is the inner dialogue with God, the inner dialogue with creation. And that is, again, is a direct experience. It doesn't have all the rules and the guidance of any religion. It's just this inner dialogue with creation. Mm. Yeah. That is being kept. Yeah. And in every religion that I was engaging, whether it's to sit with the Tibetans, whether it's to sit with enlightened teachers, whether it's to sit with the Native American in the jungle, I could always go there and to meet them in the essence point. Mm. So there was not conflict, there was not an argument. There was, okay, where they are talking the same language.
Finding where the similarities rather than the differences.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. In that, finding the similarity, immediately a connection has been born.
Mm-hmm.
There was not a moment of a conflict.
Someone's cheering you on for that one. Cool. So what would you suggest to people who don't have that environment, that are maybe feeling this awakening or questioning their religion or their upbringing and are looking for more but don't have that support and openness from their family? Is there anything you can suggest to people?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. It's like we come with the inner map. In our DNA, we are coming with that chip that pointing in us to us that we need to grow, that we need to evolve. Yeah. But the force that is behind that is the longing. Yeah. We need to water that longing. We need to have and to renew this inner dialogue with our own longing. And that longing is the longing to evolve. That longing is the longing for joy. That longing for happiness. That longing for exploration, to explore.
Mm.
And that is built in within our system. Once we start to listen to it, once we start to be attentive to it, once we start to be more loyal to it, because this humanity is suffering from denial. Once we start to be more attentive to it, that is our own inner map for the adventure of life itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are not going by the organized collective map, you start to go with your own inner direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That brings a lot of opportunities to grow. That brings a lot of opportunities to make the right choices for oneself. Because one can grow through meditation, one can grow through yoga, one can grow through the Bible script and so on and so on. Yeah. But the essence of it is the longing to evolve, the longing to see what there is there. Mm-hmm. Further than what I see now, but I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it is to be attentive to a sensation, to be attentive to a feeling. It's not an emotion, it's a feeling.
A lot of people are afraid of what they can't see.
there gets this sort of uncertainty and a fear comes up. Is there anything you can speak to that as far as...
Well, we need to be curious. We need to be curious. If we are settling to... you need to move through school, you need to go to the university, you need to get married and have kids, and there is less curiosity in it. So we need to be curious of what life have to offer us, or what is really happening with that phenomena of life that we are part of. So curiosity, and to dare to be curious, is important. Because we can live life without doubting what is being introduced to us, rather than to say, okay, what life have to offer us? What we got introduced by our family, by our society, is one thing, but what life have to share with us is a different topic. So curiosity.
Beautiful. I guess my next question would be the state of humanity right now. Are you an optimist? Do you see things changing in a positive direction, or do you think we're going backwards? And if so, what do you think needs to change in order to bring us back into harmony?
It's a very interesting topic, no? Because many times when we are starting to engage with evolution, we are looking on the other side and it looks, wow, the other side is actually getting further. There is more extreme, and that will end up not good. So I'm definitely optimist. Yeah, because there were always these two forces for life, and two forces for humanity expression. Yeah, the yin and the yang. But what is important is not that there is a difference between them, is that there is always a dialogue between them. There is always a frequency. Yeah, and from that engaging with one another, there on a very subtle boundary, evolution process is continuing. Evolution process is continuing. So from something what we call bad can grow something good. From polluting the earth and not be attentive to the climate change can rise up a consciousness how to do it better. And this we see already. There is a big part of humanity that waking up, how we can live more correct, how we can live in more harmony with nature. And the good news is that people are practicing it in their own house. They are recycling, they are becoming more aware of what they are eating, they are becoming more aware of which kind of pollution they are creating. So that become a personal practice. It's not only now an information anymore about how to live correctly. There is a large group of people that practice it. That means that we are evolving. So on one hand, we need to be realistic and to look at the facts of what is going on in humanity. On the other hand, we have to see where evolution is happening. Within that evolution, there is hope, and the hope that things are changing, things are evolving. It was always like this, and it will stay like this for the end of time. We need to have extremes in order from these two differences to give birth into something new. Not all the time is easy. When you see it's like having kids, no? You can see exactly how the solution could happen so simple. But for the kids that they are coming with a limited perspective, they cannot see it. They have to grow from it. Yeah. So if there is a frustration that comes for the more conscious people, they should treat the non-evolved part as something that is just studying how to.
Hmm.
So we don't go against it.
Yeah.
We don't go against it.
We use it to create something new.
Yes. Everything around us is a reflection of our inner consciousness, our inner behavior. The way that we are respecting ourselves, this is as much as we can respect the other. As much as we respect ourselves, this is as much as we can respect our surrounding. As much as we are denying and polluting ourselves, as much we are denying and polluting nature. It goes, it's a mirror, exactly to where we are as a collective, in our inner space. Mm-hmm. If we can continue to pollute ourselves with junk food, if we can continue to pollute ourselves with the information that we are receiving.
Like CNN.
Mm-hmm. From the news, yeah. And that we are consuming fear, and that we are consuming anxiety, and that we are consuming worried, it is just reflecting our inner space. It's just reflecting that we want to get fed. We didn't mature enough. We want to get fed by fear. We want to get fed by grief and pain.
And how do you think we can shift that process? Because people seem like they're addicted to it. They love, mm-hmm. they get stuck in this perpetual fear and watching the news and worrying. And it's almost like, I remember sometimes when I'd see a hurricane coming on, I'd be a little bit excited. Like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Like, why am I excited? I should be like, no, like, stop this thing. But everyone's just glued to the TV because they want to see it. This is going to destroy, you know. So it's an interesting thing. And how do we shift that? And why do you think that is like that?
So in the back of it, there is something interesting. Because when there is a situation, there is a war, there is a hurricane, there is an economical crisis, we are feeling the oneness.
Mm.
Suddenly, people are aiming to the same thing. They feel the oneness. I'm worried about this, and my neighbor is worried about this, and the whole country is worried about this.
Yeah.
So it's a very misleading way to feel oneness.
Mm.
But people are feeling the connection on the horror, but they feel the connection. So on a collective addiction, or we want to feel the oneness now. If we develop way to feel the oneness through goodness, better it is.
I like
so
that.
We will start to feed each other with something else. That is happening in different pockets. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, what do you think the best way nowadays is to create that oneness in community? Is there, like, I know you live in a community,
mm-hmm.
an intentional community, correct?
Yeah, in Costa Rica.
And I think that's amazing. You know, I always dream of living in an intentional community. But I see in my own communities, I've been trying to foster it in Toronto with our center and creating meditations and stuff like that. And I really see how people connect. I think like social media is very, they call it social media as a connection, but mm-hmm. there's no real connection. You know, you see pictures of people, but people are lacking that human touch, human conversation, really connecting one-on-one. And we get together in breath work or something, that something happens and everyone feels it.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, like, how can people get more of that in this disconnected world? You know, is there any suggestions?
It is all happening already.
Mm.
Yeah. So you can look at your yoga studio or your breath work clinic as something individual, but that is happening also on a larger scale. There is so many yoga places, there is so many retreat centers, there is so many places that work with the Native American medicine. So this is a global community. Yeah, there is so many people that work with the environment. So what they are doing is very individual, but they are connected to a global community on that specific topic.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the internet, information can run more smoothly. So we see that we are not alone. We are not alone in our pain, and we are not alone in our goodness.
Mm-hmm. Easy. Okay, so I guess So one more thing that I really want to talk to you about is you have a book coming out.
Yeah.
Tell me about the inspiration for this book, what your intention is behind it, what you're sharing, and what it's about. Yeah.
So the book is a concentrated poetry of what we talked. It's very easy to, more easy to pass spirituality understanding through metaphors. And the book is a collection of insights that I put when actually I had a certain crisis in my life and I needed to write truth affirmations in order to point out different knowing that I carry about truth and about this inner dialogue with life. It came very poetic, and it's whole different paragraph to different subject, and I go into it and I pointing it out from a spiritual way of seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Altogether, in these days we are finishing the editing of the book, and the material is really great. Really great. There is a whole sub-teaching in it. I'm very excited for this book. It's important to pass the positive message. It's mm-hmm. important to point out and to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. So for me, this book is exposing some of my inner most deep understanding on one hand. On the other hand, is to put one more coin into this global evolution that is happening.
Pushing the needle. And the little bit that we all put together makes a big shift.
Yes.
So what's the book called? Do you have a name for it yet?
Yes. The name of the book is Insights, Steps to Truth.
Mm, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a website? How can people, if they want to get a hold of the book or pre-order, anything like that you have set up yet?
The setup will be probably online, that we will get the book, will be a website for it, a Facebook page.
So we'll keep you updated. Like I said, the links will be below. When they are there, give this guy a follow, get his book. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of amazing insights and knowledge and nuggets of truth that will help to open your mind. So I just want to thank you for this conversation. I know you're a busy guy and taking
with
the time.
So much pleasure.
Taking the time, and hopefully, you know, in the future we can do it again, do a follow-up and dive deeper once I read the book. I'll probably have a lot of questions for
you. Definitely.
Okay, thank you so much, brother. Really appreciate you.